In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This Mass is being offered in thanksgiving for the overturning of Roe v. Wade and for the victory that the pro-life cause will have in God's time. It's good to be here. It's good to see you here once again. Just to review what we've gone over in the past number of weeks, we talked about the joy that is necessary for us to be those who are part of the pro-life cause. We've talked about the love which we need to show to those who are around us. We've also mentioned the thanksgiving that needs to mark who we are for all the prayer that we've had answered, particularly these many 50 years of praying for this overturning of this wicked decision. We have much thanksgiving left to do. And today is a great feast day within the church. And sadly, it's not in our calendar here, but it is recorded within the Roman martyrology. And that is a feast of St. Helen of the Cross. You know who St. Helen of the Cross is? St. Helen of the Cross is one of the great saints. Maybe one of these days you can talk to Mr. Sullivan about it. His parish growing up was St. Helen's in Portalis. And in particular, St. Helen is the mother of St. Constantine. And we know that he's the one who began the road for the full legalization and the embrace of the Roman Empire of the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. And so it is Helen, his mother, who, out of a great movement of conversion after her son's victory and restoration of the church to the good graces within the empire in this way, or rather a beginning thereof, went out throughout the world trying to gather up more information on who this Christ was. Such was her zeal for the church and for her Christ. Well, she went into the Holy Land, and the reason why you don't actually have to go to the Holy Land if you don't ever want to in your life is you can always make a trip to Rome, because everything that's important in the Holy Land just about was moved to Rome. All the stones in which Jesus suffered upon, his every bit of aspect of his tomb, all the implements of the crucifixion, at some point, they were all brought to the city of Rome by St. Helen in this way. And so that's why she's known as Helen of the Cross, because she found the cross itself. You know the story of the cross. We celebrate it each year. It's victory on the 14th of next month, the triumph of the Holy Cross. And just to precurse what you all will go over, or foreshadow what you all will experience in your parishes on that day, remember, she went there discovering the place and found that those who were in charge there sought to make sure that Christians would not be able to worship on this site anymore, which they held hallowed because of the death of Christ. So they built upon this particular site a temple to Jupiter and all sorts of strange gods on that place so that they would find it defiled. Well, Helen, when she went there, took the Bishop of Jerusalem and along with some of the holy deacons and went and began excavating upon the site and digging deep and digging deep and digging deep into the places where the Christians had always gone before to pay some sort of homage to their Lord and King who died upon this place. Well, digging down deep, what did they find buried in a particular place? Well, they found the edicule of the tomb. And they found also nearby that place a series of crosses which were there, three in fact, along with implements of the torture, meaning the crown of thorns, the nails, and even the marking on which was indicated, here is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, written in those three languages, just as recorded in Scripture. But they didn't know which one happened to be the cross. They knew that there were many crosses that it could have been, so which one would actually be it? They could have taken the indication that there was only one that had the nails driven into it, just as was recorded in Scripture, but they said, that's not sufficient enough. We have to have something else that's going on. Well, the Bishop Macarius recognized that there was, remembered that he had a parishioner who was dying at this very hour and was grievously sick, an old woman. And he said, well, if this is the cross of Christ, well, then we know that we are saved by the cross of Christ. And so they took these crosses, all three of them, carried them in procession into the city, into Jerusalem, in order to touch them to the sick person. They touched the first one, nothing happened. They touched the second one, again, nothing happened. And so, despairing of the fact that there would be any sign at this moment, they touched the third one there. And lo and behold, immediately, this woman near death was brought to fullness of life and was able to leap up from her dead of pain and of where they thought she would die and began rejoicing in God, for she had been saved by the cross of Christ. Salus crux. I forget what it is, but the cross, our only hope. Spes unica. The cross of Christ, our only hope. And so it was in that moment. And so that's where she gave one part of the cross to stay there in Jerusalem. One part she sent to her son in Constantinople, which he had just recently conquered. And the third she took back to Rome, which is housed even to this day. The largest portion of the Holy Cross anywhere within the world is in the Church Santa Croce Jerusalem, the Church of the Holy Cross in Jerusalem, where you'll also find a number of the spines of the crown of thorns and I think one of the nails driven into a sacred hand. Been there, seen it. You can go there and visit there if you have an opportunity. So today is the day where we honor this particular saint, Helen of the Cross. And what we find in her is something that should be marked by you and I in our cause of seeking to protect the unborn and to make sure that their sufferings go not unanswered and requited. So Saint Helen of the Cross was one who gave her life so much to seeking out the implements of the torture of Christ. because she knew that there was something powerful in suffering. And so too, you and I, we are given great suffering here. Right next to us, day in and day out, there is great suffering that goes on unrequited, unloved, unknown, or recognized by the world. But you and I do recognize that, see it, and value it. So much of the world did not and has not recognized the value of the sufferings of Christ. And yet, it is Helen of the Cross who recognized that and sought to recover them, sought to enshrine them, sought to honor them in such a way. And so you and I, as we're here within this chapel, offering the sacrifice of Christ here in an unbloody manner, recapitulated upon this altar, and sharing in the graces thereof, as we know next door, there is so much suffering which is there that is not loved or honored. Well, we do that in our own selves and seek to honor it here. And we can take courage and solace from Helen, from St. Helen, who recognizes the value of the cross and recognizes suffering. So when you and I have a suffering which we endure, well, it's an opportunity for you and I to offer that as a reparation, maybe even to take on particular penances which are above and beyond what the Church requires you and I of doing, to make a reparation to our Lord for it. What did Our Lady come in at Fatima and speak to us? She said that what we had to do was to pray the rosary, and as she so often says, penance, penance, penance. Do penance, take on penance, and make that reparation to her. You may not know this, but the month of August is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We are here within the fourth day of the octave of the Assumption of Our Lady into Heaven, which is situated perfectly within the middle of what will be the Assumption and what we're looking forward to on Monday, the Queenship of Mary, where she is crowned as Queen of both Heaven and Earth. And so here in the middle, we find ourselves in between, where the victory is not yet completely won, where it's not completely realized within us, but yet we are here with St. Helen, staying solidly within those sufferings, asking in ways in which we can make a reparation and to value the sufferings which God brings into our lives and that we see so grievously unanswered here within our cause. Our Lord knows how to bring about great things through suffering, not just the greatness of that one woman who was saved that day because she touched the cross of Christ. But when you and I touch the cross of Christ, even with our souls, even if we can't kiss it with our lips, even if we can't hold it within our arms, even if we can't rejoice in a jubilant procession with it before us, we bear the mark of the Christ and his cross and his sufferings within our own selves, as our Lord speaks about and St. Paul reminds us within his holy writings. St. Helen of the Cross recognized that the cross of Christ is the only hope of mankind, the only hope of the Christian and the sinner. And so too you and I hold it aloft within our souls and recognize its value as we go forth in this our apostolate. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.